just so you know, James told me I already did a good job preaching, so whatever else happens, I guess I've done well up to this point. So good morning again, church family. I am so excited to finally have the opportunity to stand in front of you and bring you the Word of God this morning. You know, I tried to tell you last week in the announcements that I was preaching today, and I warned you, and you still came back. So as far as I'm concerned, that's on you now. But I appreciate the opportunity to speak. And whenever I speak in the pulpit, I always like to remind the congregation to, I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. They're working on it, okay. I always remind the congregation to pray for the pastor while he's out, that he would be rested and restored. And, you know, pastors need that. Ministry is heavy. And I also ask, when I'm in the pulpit, that you would pray for me while I'm in the pulpit. It's never too late to start praying for me, even right now. I'll receive it, okay? But before I begin the message, I want to speak just to the seniors and to their parents just for a minute. I want them to know that, you know, I don't know you guys very well. And so, in fact, some of you, I just met you all even this morning. And so I know that can, there's a little awkwardness there because you're not used to me. But I want to tell you something from my heart today, that I would love the opportunity just to connect with you and to build a relationship with you and to be here for you, to encourage you. You all are fixing to enter in a very critical life, a part of your life in a variety of ways. And I want you to know that just because you graduate high school doesn't mean that you graduate church. And as the church, we have a responsibility to encourage these young people, to make sure that they know that they still have a place here at Simpsonville Baptist. And so I want you to know that that's my heart, that I hope that we can continue to build a relationship, but I also want to encourage the church family in a way that maybe you're aware of and maybe you're not aware of, that you can encourage them. So many of you all get the church newsletter that Miss Angie works really hard on, and this month of the newsletter, you can access that on our church website. If you scroll down a couple of pages, this graduating class has an entire page dedicated to the newsletter. And something, it'll tell where they graduated high school and where they're going. But a feature on that newsletter I want to point out to the church family is that it has their home address on there, and that you can write them a card and encourage them and let them know that you're praying for them and supporting them and that you're there for them. And I want to challenge you, church family, to do that. Miss Angie and others work hard to do that, and that's there for a reason, that we can do ministry and that we can support and encourage these. Amen? Will we do that this morning? Maybe not this morning, but you know what I mean. So I want to start off this morning with a story that serves kind of as an introduction to to my sermon. A couple of years ago, I went to the eye doctor, and at this particular eye doctor, it was my first visit at this eye doctor, and so I showed up by myself, and as the nurse called me back to the office, she said, "By the way, since you're new here, we're going to dilate your eyes today." And I thought to myself, well, great, you know, I have to go to Kroger after this. And it had been a long time since I'd had my eyes dilated. So I was a little nervous. You know, I hate that little poof machine that they do. I didn't know what, I couldn't really even remember what all dilating your eyes kind of entailed. So I was nervous when she said that. And so she said, "It's going to affect your vision, but I promise you, you'll be fine. You can drive home. It's no big deal." And I'm thinking, well, that's comforting. That's good. So I got a little less nervous. And they dilated my eyes, and they were looking at them. Everything was good. And you know how those eye exam rooms are kind of dark, right? So everything was good in there. And then she said, "Go ahead, you can put your contacts back in, and you can go up to the front and, you know, get your prescription." And as I stepped out of that dark room into the light, I couldn't see anything. It was like my eyes were so sensitive. And if you've had your eyes dilated before, you were aware of that and how that feels. But it was painful. And I started to get nervous all over again. I was like, "Lord, there's no way that I can drive and then go to Walmart and Kroger. And Rachel's going to get upset if I get the wrong things, you know." And so, to make the matters worse, she gave me, or the eye doctor gave me these flimsy, you know, glasses that kind of look not the best, right? And so I had to wear these inside Walmart and Kroger because I couldn't see and my eyes were hurting. And so I looked like somebody that was probably on drugs or medication because I was walking around Walmart, you know, with my phone like this, stumbling around, asking, I had to ask people questions. It was very embarrassing. It was not a fun situation to be in. And if I would have known ahead of time that I would have had my eyes dilated, maybe I would have made arrangements to help make that trip less difficult, right? I had a need there that I didn't have met because I needed someone to be with me. So I was stuck alone, half blind, trying to make it through the grocery store. Not something that I recommend. And so maybe you're here today and you haven't had a moment of physical blindness like that. Maybe you have. And if so, my heart sympathizes with you because a lot of times we don't realize how important something is until it's taken away from us, even if it's temporary. But what about blindness in other areas of your life? What about spiritual blindness? Have you ever felt like you can't see what God wants for your future? Have you ever maybe had a need that you are trusting God for, but it's unclear on how he's going to meet that need? Maybe it's relationships or family with your school or your job. Maybe you're struggling with like a certain sin in your life and you need assistance and you need help, but you can't see and you feel helpless. You know, when I think about graduation recognition, there's a lot of topics that I could have addressed today for these seniors. Because God's word is full of hope and wisdom and truth, things that we need in our lives. And I wanted to preach something today to the seniors especially that would be challenging and that would convict them and that would set them up for success now and in the future. And so I started thinking about all these things. I started thinking about identity and who you are in Christ. And I started, you know, thinking about the importance of making wise decisions and having great relationships. And there's one topic that kept resurfacing that was just kind of coming back to me over and over and over again. One thing that I thought would be more relatable to any senior, or maybe even any person here, than anything else that I've mentioned. And that was prayer. And you think, prayer? Seriously? It's kind of anticlimactic, right? I mean, here you are supposed to give this big flashy sermon about next steps and big transitions, and you're going to talk about prayer? Yeah, I am, and here's why. Because prayer is central to everything in the Christian life. I just want to tell you this morning, if you get prayer right, that you're one step closer to getting your identity right. You're one step closer to getting wise choices right and having positive relationships in your life right. And everything else right if prayer is right in your life. And so today I want to look at the story of blind Bartimaeus and how he responds to Jesus. And my hope is to challenge you today to have a similar response to Jesus as Bartimaeus did. I want you to ask yourself the question as we dive into this text. What would it look like for you to truly approach Jesus with a need in your life? What need is in your life right now? Are you aware of the needs in your life? Because sometimes I think we have needs, but they're not our true needs. They're not our deep needs. And so I want you to think about what it would look like to invite Jesus in prayer and give him permission to speak to those needs today. I believe Bartimaeus's response and experience has some important lessons for us to learn that can help us in those moments when we feel spiritually blind and need help. So I want to invite you this morning to get your Bibles or your devices and turn with me to Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to read verses 46 down through verse 52. Verse 46 says, "Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was in town, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling to you." Verse 50 says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Would you pray with me as we begin this message today? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just ask in the next few minutes, Lord, that you would just speak through me in a special way. May people not look at me or see me today, God, but may they see you and hear you today as we open your word, as we dive in and as we discuss it. I pray your Holy Spirit would stir and convict hearts today. And God, most of all, I pray that you would be glorified in this service. It's in your name we pray and ask these things. Amen. So I want you to picture this, that Bartimaeus is a blind beggar, and he's sitting on the street, and he gets wind that Jesus and the disciples are in town. So he starts thinking to himself, "This is my chance. If anybody can heal me, if anyone can do something in my life, it is Jesus," right? And so he begins to say, "I'm going to get Jesus to heal me." And before I go any further with this thought, I just want to address the elephant in the room, to the seniors especially. You're probably thinking, what in the world does someone being blind have to do with graduation recognition, and how is this going to pertain to my life? Well, I'm glad you asked that, seniors. Here we go. I'm going to tell you, okay? Whenever you have a need in your life, this is, I think, a great example for you. Bartimaeus' response to this, I believe it offers us four helpful steps to address or deal with a need. And I want to kind of pick those apart and share those with you, because as you go on to college, as you move on and do things on your own, you're going to have a lot of needs that maybe you weren't aware of before. And I pray that this message could be a reminder and an encouragement to you, but not just the seniors, to everyone. Because I don't know about you, but I have a lot of needs in my life. And so I hope that this message will bless everyone. Here's the first thing that stands out to me about Bartimaeus, so point one, if you will. If you want to address a need, it starts with crying out. Look what it says in verse 47. When he, Bartimaeus, heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." So verse 47 doesn't say that Bartimaeus thought to himself, I'm going to go to Jesus and I'm going to say, "Excuse me, Jesus, if it's not too much trouble, I know you're busy, but Lord, could you help me out? I mean, I know I'm just a beggar, but would you please help me?" That's not how the text said that Bartimaeus approached Jesus. It said that he began to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He wanted Jesus' attention. He was passionate. And sometimes I think when we have a need, we're so timid and we act like we're bothering God to come before him with our needs. And I want you to know, church family, that God loves you. You are his child. He cares deeply about you. And that I always tell people, if it's a problem to you, it's a problem to God, not because God can't handle it, but because God cares about you. He wants to meet your needs today. And in some ways, I think you and I can kind of be like Bartimaeus, but then we kind of fall off, because we know that Jesus can do amazing things. Who knows that this morning? Amen? We know that God can do amazing things. We know that Jesus answers prayers, but how often in our lives do we actually go to Jesus and cry out like Bartimaeus did? We kind of lose our focus, and too many times if you're like me, you try to fight your battles in your own strength. We place all the responsibility on our shoulders, and we never cry out to Jesus. We never lay those burdens at his feet. There's a great text in Zechariah chapter 4. The Israelites have just been released from captivity, and they're struggling, and they're facing opposition, and they're not having a great time. And in Zechariah 4, verse 6, it says, "The angel of the Lord said to them, 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit will this be accomplished, says Jesus, the Lord of hosts.'" And so I want to just tell you this morning, church family, if you want God to meet your needs, here's the secret formula. The people of the Lord must do the work of the Lord by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not in your own power do you get needs met. Because really, there is no victory in the Christian life apart from Jesus. And Bartimaeus understood that. He cried out. He had tried before. And there was nothing that he was going to get healing from. And I'm not saying that you have to go up to your room and you have to scream at Jesus to do something. But when you recognize that you have a need in your life, how passionate are you about Jesus meeting that need? We need to ponder that this morning, because I believe by crying out, Bartimaeus proved how serious he was about his need. He didn't care who else heard him or what others thought. He was desperate to be healed, desperate to see change in his life, and he believed with his whole being that Jesus was going to be the one who met his need. I want you to understand something about prayer this morning. Prayer connects us to the very heart of God. And when you pray, you're admitting to God that you have a need in your life that you can't meet. Did you know that? You're asking God, "Lord, I can't heal my child. I need you to do that. Lord, I can't fix this problem, this sin in my life. I need you to take this from me." And when you admit to God that you have a need in that way, and you approach prayer from that mindset, you receive wisdom and healing and grace and power from the Most High God. And so if you have a need this morning, I want to remind you, cry out to Jesus. Trust him to do the work. Don't fix your need on your own, but trust his Spirit. Point number two that I picked up from Bartimaeus this morning: we need to press in when we have a need. I want you to understand that there's a price that comes when you cry out to Jesus that way. When we seek after God's direction, the enemy will come to distract us. I want you to look at what happens as Bartimaeus begins to cry out to Jesus. Verse 48, it says, "Bartimaeus sought the Lord, but many rebuked him and told him to be quiet." Young people, particularly, I don't want you to miss this, okay? Those closest to him on the streets with him became a distraction and a hedge to get him to Jesus. When he began to get serious about healing and leaning in to Jesus, the crowd around Bartimaeus told him to shut up. "You're embarrassing him. You're embarrassing us. Don't bother Jesus. Just sit there, beggar." The crowd gave him attention, but it was negative. And it was only when Jesus responded to him that their attention began kindness and loving. The crowd didn't have Bartimaeus's best interest in mind. And I want to tell you this morning, students especially, the crowds don't always have your best interest in mind either. They only bothered Bartimaeus when he reached out to God. I want you to be mindful of that, because that's exactly what the enemy does in our life. When we try to reach out and lean in and press into the things of God, Satan hates that. You know, if Satan is not bothering you, it could be because you're not bothering him. And I think sometimes we kind of like that. We enjoy Satan ignoring us. But we need to be the kind of people that when we get up and our feet hit the floor, Satan knows that we're up to something. He knows that, they're going to try to make a difference in the kingdom this morning, and I need to try to distract them. He's going to do his best to avert any attempt in your life that you make close to God. So we must press in and be serious about the things of God. So as you go off to college or work, senior, young people, I want you to pay attention to the crowds in your life. What are the things that pull your focus away from the presence of God? The crowd, just so you know, is not always bad things either. The crowd can be good things like school, relationships, work, friendships. Anything can pull us away from God. I want to remind you today that an idol, I got to give credit to Alan Dotson for this. I heard him say this at First Baptist. And I don't know that Alan came up with this, but I'm going to give Alan credit. But an idol, Alan said, is any good thing that we take and make a great thing in our life. And it becomes an idol. And so when we go to college, it's not just the parties or the relationships or the friends that we make or the decisions that can be bad. Sometimes it can be those good things that we just make ultimate in our lives that take the place of God. So guard your hearts. Pay attention to the crowds around you. And make sure that you are pressing in to the things of Jesus. Surround yourself with people who are going to push you toward Jesus. Not when you get God's attention, but when you need it the most. Bartimaeus' mind was made up. The crowds couldn't silence him. And he was desperate to be in the presence of Jesus. Distractions are going to come, young people. Press in. Discouragement will come in your life, young people. Press in. Doubt is going to come in your life, but press in. I want you to understand that if Bartimaeus would have listened to the crowd around him, he would have remained blind, but more importantly, he would have missed Jesus. Sometimes I think you and I cry out, but we forget to press in. We let the distractions and the discouragement of life weigh us down. We give up and we let go of victory a little too easily sometimes. There's this quote from Leonard Ravenhill that says, "The dust on our Bibles will cry out as judgment against us." I think the same could be said about prayer in our lives. We can't say God is silent if we're not the ones pressing in to Jesus. So why is it important that you begin to press in when life gets hard and the enemy hits? Look at verse 49. It says, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." You see, when we press in, we get the attention of Jesus. I want to say that again. When you press in and you don't care about the distractions or the doubts, you get the attention of Christ. And sometimes I think we forget that God hears the cries in the heart of the hurting. Psalms 17, verse 6 says, "I call on you, God, because you will answer me. Listen closely to what I say." Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cry. And I want to remind you today, church family, that when you press in and when you don't care about anything else around you, but your eyes are focused on Christ, he hears your cry too. I want you to remember, there's no pause in the Christian life, graduates. As much as we would like to just hit that pause sometimes, because we need a break and we're tired from school and all work and all these things, you're either constantly moving, inching closer to God, or you're inching further away from him. There's no pause, there's no stop. The devil never quits. There's always work to be done. And so you're graduating high school, and that's awesome. That's encouraging. Congratulations. But I want to remind you that now is not the time to take a break from your Bible. Now is not a time to hit pause on church, because you need to trust that God is all-powerful. You need to trust that God is all-knowing and he's concerned with your life. And just because life gets hard, or just because you're entering a new and exciting life and you want to make some changes, I think that you need to understand that one change that you can't make is about your faith. College is a time to have fun. It's a time to pursue your dreams and be on your own and grow up a little bit. And you're going to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But the biggest mistake I think you can make, young people, is thinking that God doesn't care about you or choosing not to press in this critical moment of your life. And that kind of leads us to the third point that I've picked up from Bartimaeus. Point number three, we need to toss distractions aside. It's easy to miss something really significant, I think, in this text in verse 50. It says, so they called to the blind man, cheer up on your feet. And verse 50 says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. I think it's very easy to overlook verse 50. Those first four words, throwing his cloak aside. I wonder why Mark put that in there. I read a little bit about that, and one belief is that it was to show excitement in Bartimaeus' life, right? And it sounds good. I think that could be true. That out of his desperation, when Jesus heard his cry, he got excited that he was going to be healed, and he ran to Jesus. You know, that kind of reminds me as I was reading through that, James and Ella, and now even Hannah, I can add Hannah into this because she's getting pretty good at running. When I come home, especially at our home in Mount Vernon, I always came through the back door, and it had this big glass window in the back door. And so I start fooling with the keys or the locks, and I come home, it never fails. The kids always have something in their hands or in their mouths, I mean, all the time. And so I start jiggling with the back door, and it doesn't matter if it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or if it's a monster truck or a Barbie doll. When the kids hear me opening the door, they throw down snacks and all, and they come running to me because they're excited, right? They want to see their daddy. And Rachel gets that reaction every now and then, but I'm kidding. I was just making sure you were listening this morning. But I want you to think about the cloak in Bartimaeus for a second, okay? That was one of the only possessions that Bartimaeus had. He was a beggar. And so beggars, what they would do with that cloak, they would spread it out on the ground. And they would ask for people for donations for food and things like that. And being that that was all that Bartimaeus had, that cloak would protect him from the sun in the day. It served as a shelter for him at night. And I think Mark tells us that Bartimaeus decided to throw his cloak away because he wanted to show the faith that Bartimaeus had. That cloak, church family, was a symbol of his blindness. He didn't forget it. It didn't say that, oh, he got halfway to Jesus and said, oh, my cloak, and, you know, come back. No, he left it there intentionally because he knew that Jesus would heal him. And he didn't want anything to interfere with Jesus in his life. So how often do we press in to Jesus, but we still hang on to our cloaks? We're still clinging to the things that we think are going to help us and protect us. I got this on the screen, I think. I might have forgot to change the verse, but Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God has called us to live our lives in freedom, not to be a slave of sin or idols of this world. In this world are going to present things to you that you want to hold on to, money and relationships and anything else that we can place our identity in, our careers and social life. All those things are important. I'm not hating on any of those. But I do want to say that none of those things are eternal. None of them come close to knowing Jesus in a real and more personal way. And I don't care how big you are or how strong you think you are, your arms are not big enough or strong enough to hold on to the things of this world and to hold on to Jesus too. You can't do it. So can you start to see how important the smallest detail of the text of Scripture is sometimes how it changes the whole dynamic of the passage, that he tossed his cloak aside. And I just want to say, the Holy Spirit kind of just gave me this as I was thinking about that. You know, if a small detail like that in a passage can make a huge difference to the text and the meaning, what about the small details of our lives when nobody else is around? When nobody knows the things that we're holding on to, what if we decided to let go of those? How big of a difference would it make in our lives? And so I just want to invite you this morning, not in your own strength, because you would pick it back up. I know, because I've done that before too. But by the power of the Holy Spirit and true surrender, whatever you hold on to today, your pain, your fear, your insecurities, when you approach Jesus, would you have the faith of Bartimaeus? Would you toss that aside because you don't need it anymore? Because Jesus can meet your needs. I want to bring up point four. It's pretty short. I'm about to wrap up. In verse 51, point four is we need to respond to Jesus or follow Jesus. You could even say that according to the text. In verse 51, it says, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus responded, "Rabbi, I want to see." See, Bartimaeus didn't hesitate. He didn't hold back. Bartimaeus was ready to respond to Jesus when he had the Lord's attention. And this may come as a surprise to you this morning, but you know, when we pray, when we have a need, when we press into God, we're not telling him anything that he doesn't already know about us. It's not like God's like, "Oh, I'm glad you reminded me that they're sick. I had no idea." He knows all things. But see, prayer is for us. It's so we can develop a deeper faith and a deeper trust in God. And I really believe that there's a sense of humility and surrender when it comes to voicing our needs to God. It's not always easy to come up with the right response or the correct response. Sometimes it's difficult to admit your needs. Every man in here knows what I'm talking about. I'll give you a hint. "Sorry, honey, I was wrong," right? Sometimes when we get in an argument, it can be tough to admit that. But our wives are always right. Amen? All right. There's a couple wise people in here. Jesus asked Bartimaeus an obvious point to see if he had the faith to respond to him. Verse 51, it says, "Go," listen, don't miss the text, "your faith has healed you." And he immediately followed Jesus. And so when we're dealing with a need, we have to be willing to respond to God in honesty and surrender and humility. We have to be willing to follow Jesus. I want you to remind you this morning, God has the power and the ability to heal. But do you believe that? God has the power to forgive you. But do you believe that? Jesus told Bartimaeus, "Your faith has healed you." And so as I think about that, I think about my lack of faith sometimes. Sometimes the only thing holding us back from the healing that we need is us. Sometimes the only thing that's getting in our way or God's way is our lack of faith. And I want to remind you today, as you think about the idea of prayer, that there is healing in confession. There is no one that is ever too far gone to confess a need that Jesus can't meet. So would you confess that today? I'm not asking you to air your dirty laundry. I'm saying, do you believe that Jesus can meet the needs in your life? That he can speak to that pain? That he can speak to those insecurities, those doubts and those fears? Do you trust God enough to move in your life? And so as we think about those things, because we all know what they are, I want to ask everyone just to bow their head just for a moment. And we're going to have a time of invitation, and I don't mean, please don't take this the wrong way, but I want to invite you to respond in this time of invitation, not just with worship only. Yes, worship always. But I want to invite you this morning to invite Jesus to meet a need in your life. Bartimaeus was struggling. He was blind. He couldn't see. So what did he do? He cried out. He had nothing left to lose. He wasn't going to be timid. He pressed in. He refused to be deterred by the distractions. In fact, he went a step further than that. He tossed his distractions aside. He came to Jesus empty-handed. He let go of the things of the world. And finally, he responded to Jesus. He had the faith to be real and to be vulnerable with God. I want to ask you this morning, do you have that kind of faith? I believe Jesus wants you to have a bold, eye-opening faith. I believe he wants to give us the vision to see what he has planned for us. So graduates, if I could just speak to you for a second as you're thinking through these things. As you go into this next phase of life, don't underestimate the importance of prayer. Don't underestimate the value of being honest and real before God. Whenever you feel blind or you feel like there's something you don't understand, I want you to remember Bartimaeus. I pray that you'd have the same unshakable faith that he has when the world tries to shake you down. And I pray that you'd continue to follow Jesus. And to everybody else here this morning, I just want to ask this question as you are thinking through this invitation time. What need do you have today? Will you bring it to Jesus? I just want to speak quickly to this, but the greatest need that any of us have is to be forgiven of our sin, to have the gospel in our lives. And like Bartimaeus, every person in this room was blind until Jesus gave us spiritual sight. We were poor beggars and he paid our ransom. We brought Jesus nothing but our weakness and our sin, and he gave us spiritual healing. And so if you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, praise God, I got good news for you that nothing in 2,000 years has changed about the way God meets needs. He still makes time for those who call his name. There is still hope for those who look to Jesus for healing. So the question is, how are you going to deal with your need? Are you going to respond to him today? As we pray, I want to invite you to use this time of invitation to press in, respond to God well, and trust him to meet your need. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this word. God, I thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our needs. I ask, God, that your Holy Spirit, even now, Lord, would help us to be real with you, would help us, Lord, respond appropriately and get our eyes and our hands off this world and onto you. We ask, Jesus, that you would move and have your way in this invitation. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Please.